probably another job, though, where the family dynamic could get complicated.
100%.
Right? Yeah. That's got to be a storyline on Chicago Fire or something like that. The old man and the boy who doesn't get it. What's the cop show with Selleck? Same thing.
What is that, Blue Bloods?
Yeah, Blue Bloods. A lot of exhaling loudly on that show.
Is that what happens when you're a parent? He just, that's a lot of...
just a lot of...
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's your host, Vince Vetrano.
Hey, Michelle Richards in for Eric this morning. I think he's up north. Good time to get up.
Hope it's not raining by him.
Again with the rain. Should we start with the golf? I don't know. I debated where to begin with the presidential debate. Debate number one in the books now. Both President Biden and former President Trump will hit the campaign trail today. That's pretty much customary. You come off the debate and the candidates head out and do their rallies and whatnot. So you've got the president with events in North Carolina and New York. Former President Trump is going to be in Virginia for a rally today. The least consequential, but perhaps the most shared exchange between the pair Thursday night in the debate was over golf.
Kareem, I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And but by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a 6 handicap of all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8.
Never.
But I have, you know how many?
I've seen you swing. I know you swing.
Okay. We will get into some of the substance here in a bit. But on the golf, first off, not a good moment for the president, which is it? Are you a 6 or an 8? Because I play golf with your brother-in-law, Michelle. Tony's a very good golfer. He's a single-digit handicap. He could tell you the difference between a 6 and an 8 is more than it seems. It's like the difference between a 5 and a 7 magnitude earthquake. Like, one can destroy a city and the other is kind of, hey, what was that? Some stuff fell off the wall, right?
And were they really ever golfing together? Like, that they would see each other's swings?
Would be something to see. That gap wider than it seems. So which is it? Were you a 6 or were you an 8? And also, if you were a 6 or an 8, whichever way you have it, when you were vice president, how much golf were you playing? Single-digit handicappers are not guys who roll out once or twice a month and just swing away. These are guys who grind on their game. So not of any consequence, but certainly a funny exchange. On the contest itself, one thing President Biden could not do was be terrible. And by virtually all accounts this morning, he was. ABC's Perry Russum.
Democratic Party insiders privately expressing doubts about the future of Biden's campaign. One current Biden supporter responding to Biden's debate performance saying, "I am in a state of shock. He has diminished to an extent that has become undeniable."
Post-debate flash poll by CNN showing 67% of those who watched the debate thought former President Trump won it. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily it sways votes. But you heard Russum reference their concern among Democrats as to whether they can win with this president in the fall. The other top shared moment, President Biden struggling to keep his train of thought on a question over health care.
Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do dealing with everything we have to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare.
Now, the president's campaign saying he had a cold, reason for his raspy and labored speech. Vice President Kamala Harris calling it a slow start, but a strong finish. Former President Trump, I thought, if there was a tough moment for Trump, and folks are fact-checking so many things that he said, and I'll leave that to you to research, but working through this tough question for Republicans to answer on abortion, it's perhaps the definition of irony. The right finally got what it wanted for half a century, worked so hard to overturn Roe v. Wade. It happened, and now that decision has made it so difficult for Republicans in swing states to get elected. We've seen it right here in Wisconsin, abortion number one issue that propelled Governor Tony Evers, Attorney General Josh Call to second terms. It's the issue that flipped our state Supreme Court from conservative to liberal. Former President Trump saying the abortion issue is right where everyone wants it.
51 years ago, you had Roe v. Wade, and everybody wanted to get it back to the states. Everybody, without exception. Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives. Everybody wanted it back. Religious leaders. And what I did is I put 3 great Supreme Court justices on the court, and they happened to vote in favor of killing Roe v. Wade and moving it back to the states. This is something that everybody wanted.
Now, you can make a strong legal and constitutional argument that the abortion question does belong in the hands of states, but that is not what everyone wanted. Poll after poll after poll since the Dobbs decision have shown a majority of Americans wanted Roe v. Wade to remain in effect, some regardless of their own opinions on what they might personally do with a pregnancy. So former president is still struggling to figure out how to remain in the good graces of the staunchly pro-life crowd without alienating so many middle ground conservatives that they don't turn out for him, as has been the case for conservatives here in Wisconsin. Again, both candidates out on the campaign trail today, Republican National Convention here in Milwaukee, less than 3 weeks away.
Every single thing he said is a lie. Every single one.
Russia, 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 Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. Everything he does is a lie. It's misinformation and disinformation.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
NBA free agency period opens this weekend with the 2024 draft in the books.
With the 33rd pick in the 2024 NBA draft, the Milwaukee Bucks select Tyler Smith from Houston, Texas, and the NBA G League's Team Ignite.
Another 19-year-old for the Bucks, A.J. Johnson, with their first-round pick Wednesday. Johnson from California was playing professionally in Australia last season. Tyler Smith averaged nearly 14 points per game in the NBA G League last season. Bucks passed on two Marquette University stars. Both Tyler Kolek and Oso Iguodoro from the Golden Eagles end up going to the Portland Trail Blazers. College hoops, whole new world, as Aladdin said in Disney. Name, image, likeness, transfer portal. Your Wisconsin Badger is going to look different this year. Head coach Greg Gard says he's picked up some talent through transfers.
You know, we've tried to go and get make sure we're too deep at every position and really good in those positions. So, obviously, we brought in a point guard and Cameron Hunter. We brought in a wing and John Tanjay, and we brought in Xavier Amos. So, those three guys, you know, coming in with the mindset to contribute right out of the gate and help us right away.
Coach Gard, a guest on ESPN Wisconsin's Kyle Brusten and Nortman. And the Brewers back at it tonight. We got Craig Counsell and the Chicago Cubs in town. The Cubs are in last place in the National League Central, 10.5 games behind the Brewers. They did snap a four-game losing streak Thursday afternoon, beating the Giants in San Francisco 5-3 in 10 innings. So they will be travel-weary, and they're also not a very good baseball team. But you know their fans will travel. Council and the Cubs were embarrassed last time up here at Wrigley North, as they call it. So expect a good series. 7:10 is the first pitch tonight from American Family Field. Come on now. Get it out. Get your lighter out. Summerfest 2024, weekend two, day two. Who's playing? What's happening? How do I get in for free? REO, Michelle.
Every year, right?
Yes, Wisconsin summertime staple. They have the 9:30 show at the BMO Pavilion tonight. DJ Shauna spins from 9 to midnight at the Aurora Healthcare stage, All-American Rejects, Hippocampus, and on the American Family Insurance Amphitheater stage, Tyler Childers. You said you'd see that show.
I would.
Okay. Spanning the state, Wisconsin's afternoon news broadcast live from Meyer Festival Park today at the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Studio. What else?
Hey, excuse me. Do you know where the pickleball tournament is?
You're in the right place. You want beer or no?
Pickleball back at the Gruber Law Office's Sports Zone. This time it's your turn. So we've had a couple of these charity pickleball tournaments. Greg Matzik and I teamed up to play on Thursday. But this time it'll be an open instructional. Tell you more about that in a minute. First on our performance. So Greg was playing for the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation, and I was playing for Special Olympics Wisconsin with about $1,000 in money online for our charities, which we were going to split.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's a kid like never played pickleball. He was my partner. I had no idea, Michelle. He rolls up. He's got two pickleball paddles. I figure he's ready to go. Okay. I teamed up with Ted Perry from Fox 6 for a couple of games because Greg was still on the air. He comes trotting out. Okay, let's go. And he starts asking me the rules. And you know, Greg.
Didn't you check beforehand?
Well, I just assumed, right? You're in the pickleball tournament. You've perhaps played pickleball mm-hmm. before. One time he's played. So, but you know, Greg, he's like, no, so I can go here? So we do this? And I assume.
I think he's joking. Yeah.
Obviously, right? And then it became very apparent that Greg had not really played pickleball. Now, Greg's an extraordinary athlete. So for a guy to just walk out there and pick it up, he did really well. But we got smoked in the tournament. Champion of the tournament, I think, was Hillary Mintz. Used to be on Channel 12, works for the county executive's office now in Waukesha County. She played D1 tennis at Iowa. Okay, so she walks out there.
Yeah, you had no chance.
And she says to me, she's like, you played in college, right? I'm like, yeah, I played at St. Norbert. and we were bad. Bad D3. She was amazing, but it was a really good day. Today, it's an open instructional. My friends at ProLite, who make pickleball paddles right here in southeast Wisconsin, they'll be there. Talk with Greg Straub, who is opening indoor facilities called Pickleball Kingdom here in Wisconsin.
Why is pickleball exploding?
You know, it's an easy sport to understand. It's easy to learn. In a half an hour, you can play the game, and in a day, you can play competitively with your friends, your family, anyone. You pick it up with a stranger, and it's a real welcoming sport.
Instructors will be on hand to teach you the game from noon until 2 today. 4 p.m. at the Sports Zone, the Alumni Charity Challenge in basketball. Wisconsin College hoop stars from UW, including ESPN Wisconsin's Ben Brust, Marquette, UWM, and UW Green Bay compete for charities.
You say the word free, and people go crazy.
If you paid full price to get into Summerfest, you just didn't try very hard.
You know what people love? People love free stuff.
College Pride Day. All patrons who arrive between noon and 3 wearing a shirt or hat representing a participating college or university or presenting their high school ID will receive one free admission ticket. Herzing University, Marquette U, Milwaukee Area Technical College, University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Parkside, and Whitewater all get in on that free deal. Summerfest 2024, weekend 2, day 2, gates open at noon at Meyer Festival Park. Cubs back in town tonight. We got sports coming up at 6:45.
You know, if my 8th graders stayed up all night long playing video games, I might have something to say about that.
It's a problem.
But
yeah,
not
all night?
Not the case, though, in Columbia, South Carolina. Avante Weeks is 13. He was up playing video games, and around midnight, with his headphones in, he heard this loud pop, so he went outside to see what was going on.
Our neighbor's house caught on fire, and then the wind was blowing towards our house, so then it caught our house on fire.
So the neighbor's house is up in flames. The wind is blowing so strongly that the flames are, like, shooting over to their house. So he goes inside, wakes up his family, gets everyone out. All good. Everyone's safe. His mom, Tabitha, says her son's quick thinking saved their family.
I'm, like, so proud of him. He's very responsible always. But, yeah, to be that quick on his feet and run in and get us and everybody got out safe and unharmed was amazing.
So no one was hurt. That's the great news. Unfortunately, the home was destroyed. But, yeah, great job.
How about those video games, though? We are going to have a conversation about
that, right?
At some point. Like, this worked out really well, and we appreciate you. Nice job, Hero. But
get
about,
some sleep.
Right, about those video games. 6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. At 6:41 on this Friday morning, do you or do any of your kids do scouts?
I have one in Brownies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know.
Used to have all three. That made cookie selling really tough.
Oh, yeah, right. Which kid do you favor? How did you work that out for the family buy?
Well, we just split it. What we did was we combined the order into one big order so they could get the prizes.
Oh, yes. So. I'll tell you something about selling stuff. Like when you were a kid, whether it was candy bars or M&Ms or whatever it was that you had to sell or magazine subscriptions, when they did the introductory thing and they're like, oh, you could, if you sell 1 million subscriptions, you can get this Atari or the bike. And you're like, oh, I'm totally getting
all
that
in.
Bike. Right. So like
Atari.
Seven,
I love it.
Right. This Atari. And you had to sell so much stuff. But when you're a kid, you're like, oh, that's cake. I got that. And then you never got that bike.
Just got that one little tiny stuffed animal
right,
hooked onto your backpack.
Right. Or a pencil eraser or something like that. A bracelet. So part of scouting is, in order to achieve certain ranks, you earn badges.
Badges? We don't need no stinking badges.
Okay, but you do for scouts. So for all sorts of disciplines, there's a badge that demonstrates competency in a particular area. So this local Boy Scout, now a teenager, pulled off an extremely rare feat. He has earned every single badge offered by the Boy Scouts. Libby Collins talked with 16-year-old Ivan Bernier about earning all 139 merit badges.
That's commitment.
Are there any badges that you kind of said, oh boy, what am I going to get myself into on this one?
Skating. I had no idea how to skate.
Is that roller skating or ice skating?
It can be either. There's an option. I did the ice skating portion.
What did you have to do?
Demonstrate that even if you're a little wobbly, you can stay up on skates, move forward, backwards, stop a little bit. My mom's stepbrother helped me a lot with that. I'm very grateful for that because there's no way I would have been able to figure that out on my own.
139 badges.
It's a lot
of work. I didn't even make my arrow of light. I just kind of had like however many more badges to go. I'm like, I'm out. So bad. So pretty extraordinary young man, Ivan Bernier, amazing guy. He's achieved what only a handful of scouts have ever done in earning all of those merit badges issued by the Boy Scouts. He's going to share more of his story. Really interesting conversation with Libby Collins on WTMJ Conversations. That is coming up Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
Badges? We don't need no stinking badges. Oh, no.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers and Cubs tonight at American Family Field. Former Brewers manager Craig Counsell brings in the last place Cubbies to town. Again, the Brewers are 10 and a half games up on them in the division. Brewers were off Thursday. Cubs had to travel back from San Francisco, where they did scrape out a 10th inning victory over the Giants Thursday afternoon. First pitch tonight, Brewers and Cubs from American Family Field at 7:10. To the NBA draft, with a 33rd pick overall in the draft, third pick in Thursday's second round, Milwaukee Bucks pass on Marquette's Tyler Kolek, pass on Marquette's Oso Igudoro, and select a D-League player, Tyler Smith. Inside the war room, Bucks GM John Horst giving Smith the good news.
What's up, man? I'm here with Coach and Milt.
What's up, Tyler? Welcome to the Bucks, my man.
Congrats.
You ready? You ready to get to work?
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll be waiting for you this week.
Okay.
Okay. Smith, I mean, what do you want from him? He's 19 years old. Averaged nearly 14 points a game in G League play last season.
We're excited, man. And this is the right spot for you. You're going to have a chance to grow and develop. You got great vets. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. You're welcome, brother. We'll see you soon.
Kolek went in the next round, or the next pick in the draft, to Portland. Igudoro follows, also to Portland, going several picks later. NBA free agency window opens on Sunday. Quickly to college hoops. We talked the other day about the WIAA, that's the governing body for high school sports in Wisconsin, rejecting a proposal to add a shot clock for high school basketball. Wisconsin Badgers head coach Greg Gard on ESPN Wisconsin's Kyle Bruston-Nortman says he would like to see that clock.
Yeah, we need the shot clock in this state. There is no doubt the impact in a positive way that it would make in the development of players.
27 states already have a shot clock in place for high school basketball. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 6:48.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the phone. When you're coming home, Daddy, don't know when. But we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then.
Tell me you didn't get chills the first time you played that all the way through. Oh, the boy was just like me. See what I did here?
Everything goes full circle, yeah.
ESPN Milwaukee's Gabe Neitzel in studio with us this morning. Michelle's in for Eric. Hey, what? We were having a laugh today because in the NBA draft, LeBron James' son, Bronny, right?
Yeah, so he's LeBron James Jr., but he goes by Bronny.
Got drafted, as many hoped he would, by the Lakers. Father and son will play together in the association?
Yeah, it's going to be the first time that's ever happened at the NBA level because, I mean, we've seen it before in different sports. The most famous example, I would say, would be the Griffies, Ken Griffey playing with Ken Griffey Jr. in Seattle, late 80s, early 90s, forget the specific year. But this is the first time it's ever happened where you're going to have father and son on the same NBA team. And when you think about it, I mean, the NBA is a young man's game. You know, usually guys aren't playing to the age that LeBron James is, but he also, him and his wife had, you know, LeBron, they had Bronny at a relatively young age. That's kind of made this whole thing possible. So you've got a 40-year-old and his 19-year-old son.
What's the dynamic going to be like? I mean,
so that was my favorite, I think one of my favorite tweets I saw about it yesterday was like when Bronny's running and he's open, like on a fast break, is he just yelling, Dad, throw me the ball.
I don't know.
Like, exactly. Like there are very, very specifically few people that have like had this issue that these two are going to like, how do they communicate? How are they, you know? How is this all going to work? It's going to be a fascinating dynamic in Los Angeles.
We were laughing though over just imagine yourself, like whatever walk of life you're in, whatever job you're in, if you're doing that job with your dad,
Well, but a lot of places do that. Like my, so my dad, for example, my dad's an electrician up in Horicon. Had his own business for a while. It was his dad's business before that. So he learned from his dad on how to be an electrician. We've seen that with family businesses before. So,
all right, so that, you in, know, in those think, fields, okay.
Yeah, like especially I would like trade
farming.
Fields, you know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm, things like that.
Boy,
you kind of
learn. Take over the farm here.
Yeah. But I athletically, yeah, again, it's a little different dynamic, I think.
I just think we've had Joe Vetrano on the show before, my dad.
Yeah.
Talking about sports and baseball. Do you want me to read what it would sound like to have my dad working
Absolutely.
Here? This is the text I get from him yesterday. Like, he can't just, everyone loves this Brewers team, right?
Yeah.
We're in first place. Yes. Everybody's hurt. We're finding ways, you know, whatever. But everybody loves this team, right?
Yeah. I was at the game on Wednesday. It was spectacular. Like, it was a wild game. You know, they had the grand slam inside the park or went on a walk-off. It was a great day at the ballpark.
My dad's probably only takeaway from that game specifically would be, we left a lot of runners in scoring position, stranded. Yeah, but we won, man.
But who cares if you win the game?
This would be what it was like if my dad worked here. Here's his text to my brother and me. Okay, in a break from tradition, I am compelled to offer thoughts on the Crew's midseason performance. That's right, we are 81 games into the 2024 season, and the Brewers are in first in the National League Central, six up on the Cards, owning the third best record, et cetera, et cetera. Their pitching has somehow hung in there despite a rash of injuries. Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's good. I would say that's a good assessment.
Hitting is so much better than last year's. Five starters over 250. Last year, you'd be lucky to find one or two. Smoke and mirrors, baby. Smoke and mirrors. Another look at the All-Star break. A shocked hardball aficionado. Can't we just enjoy the ride?
Well, so here's the thing about the Brewers that maybe your dad has not adjusted to. You can win in more than one way in Major League Baseball now. Like, that's what the rule changes have done. Most people want to focus on the pitch clock of the rule change and how things have sped up. But also by expanding the base, the way they did, making them bigger and limiting the number of times a pitcher can throw over, they're encouraging more steals. Brewers lead the league in steals. They are aggressive on the base pass. They are winning in a way that teams haven't won in quite a while because they're allowed to win this way. That the rule changes are allowing different styles of baseball to exist. You don't have to be the Yankees and sit back and wait for Aaron Judge to hit a 3-run home run to score all your runs. You can manufacture runs, and that's the way the Brewers are winning, and that is a sustainable way to win in Major League Baseball in 2024.
What's your dad do, Michelle? Well, he's retired now,
he's
right?
He's retired. Yeah. He was a firefighter, so yeah, I can't.
Yeah, you couldn't.
I don't think I would do that. I don't know if I have the right, you know, skill set for that.
That's probably another job, though, where the family dynamic could get complicated.
100%.
Right? Yeah. That's got to be a storyline on Chicago Fire or something like that. The old man and the boy who doesn't get it. What's the cop show with Selleck? Same thing.
What is that, Blue Bloods?
Yeah, Blue Bloods. A lot of exhaling loudly on that show.
Is that what happens when you're a parent? You just, that's a lot of...
just a lot of... We really think hard and long about a lot of really tough issues in that family. Thanks, Gabe. Have a good one.
Anytime.
657 on Wisconsin's Morning News. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know.